Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back again to another episode of X-Files Diaries. I'm Annie.
And I'm Jen. Hi, Annie. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Although we're going to talk about, like, depressing stuff today.
So, well, it was depressing for a time, yes.
Yeah. What we're going to talk about today is the reason that Chris Carter and company decided to split Mulder and Scully up before the revival began. And I guess we should specify, split them up in a romantic way, although that kind of bled over into the friendship, which was one of my main issues with it. But anyway, we can get into that.
Mm-hmm. Let's get into it.
Jen, how do you remember hearing about this? It was before the show actually aired, correct?
It was. It was quite a ways before it aired. It was one of the very first things I remember reading about the new season.
Yeah.
I was trying to steer clear of press because it's never good for my blood pressure to read anything from Chris Carter, but
oh, God.
I was curious, so obviously I was very wary. I went into season 10 wary already because, you know, sometimes revivals don't go so well. So I was very wary. And then I read from the lips of the great creator that Mulder and Scully are going to be broken up in season 10. And I was unhappy. I was unhappy about that because my initial reaction was, I mean, I want to believe ended on such a beautiful note with such a happy final scene. And yeah. I was like, oh, you're going to like crap all over that awesome scene that I love so much. And at that moment, my first reaction was like, this is artificial. This is Chris Carter trying to do a reset on Mulder and Scully's relationship because he thinks there's no other way to present their relationship other than something that is unresolved. We can't have them as a couple. We're not allowed to. He doesn't know how to write them that way. He thinks the only reason people are tuning in is because they want to see if they'll get together. And once they were together, no one's going to care anymore. That was right. What I thought he was up to with that. And I felt kind of ticked about it. So
yeah,
that was how I react. What did you think?
Well, okay. I kind of agree with you. First of all, my first impression was exactly that. I mean, I come from the entertainment world. I'm well aware that this is how people think. They're just like, well, you know, we kind of got them together back when we thought the show was going to end. And so maybe in order to keep people watching, we got to break them up. But obviously, that was not the case. But I think you're right that like, and I think this also really ties heavily into I Want to Believe in how that went over because I will defend that movie till the day I die because I love it. I don't have any problems with it. I don't understand why people didn't like it. I mean, I guess like I get that that wasn't necessarily the movie people were waiting for, but for what it is, I think it's a really nice little movie. And I don't think that there were any issues with it that like make me think that, oh, they did the wrong thing. But I think that maybe Chris Carter interpreted it incorrectly. Like he thinks that the reason people didn't like it was because Mulder and Scully were a couple. And I'm like, no, actually, Chris, that's the only reason that people really did like it.
That was so, the only good thing about it, Chris.
For a lot of people, that was the main reason that they didn't, you know, completely write it off as a complete failure. And I think that that's, and again, I don't agree with that. I think it's actually a good movie, but I think that he misinterpreted that as he usually does because of his inability to read a room, and maybe he decided, oh well, we lost all that tension and so now we have to break them up to me. But I don't think that that's the case with the show, because again, like a lot of people, that's one of our favorite things about it, but that's not the reason that people are watching it. It's not like you're watching Ross and Rachel and you're like, oh, they're together and now the show's over. Like,
honestly,
and I don't know, I'm sorry to keep bringing up Ross and Rachel, it's probably like the worst problem. I should do like Sam and Diane or like the
are
Moonlighting
enough to know Sam and Diane? Is it reruns that we're counting on for that?
I think people are aware. They're aware. But you know what I mean. It's not.
But that was very big in like the 80s, right? The 80s into the 90s. This whole sort of romantic comedy kind of trope of will they or won't they? And I mean, it still is to some degree. But back then, for sure, Moonlighting was also pretty famous for that, too.
But I like, in a weird way, I don't feel that Mulder and Scully ever were that. Like, I feel like
No, I agree.
I mean, there definitely was this tension that was always there, and it continued throughout the entire series, even when they did get together, because they were able to do that because they did it so unusually. You know what I mean? They were only giving you little bits and pieces. So I feel like they kind of achieved that with season 11 too. We don't need to talk about that yet, but like they gave you these little bits and pieces, and that's what people liked. You know, they you don't make it about their relationship. That's not what the show is about. But you have it in there, just little snippets in and out, here and there, and that's what people like about it. So, I mean, when, to answer your question, my long-winded answer, what I when I first heard about it, I was that was my first reaction is, oh, well, he's thinking like a showrunner, and he's going to do this because he thinks that's what people they want to see them slowly get their way back together. And so I went into season 10. This is probably why I hated the finale of season 10 so much. But I went into season 10 thinking, oh, cool. Okay, we got 6 episodes to watch this kind of slowly take place. And then at the end, it'll be great. And we all know how that shit turned out. So was really, 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 really upset at the end of that episode for that particular reason.
Yeah, many, many people were.
Yeah, because, and this is my main problem with it. My main problem, I have 2 problems with the breakup. And then we can go into all the things that I actually do like about the breakup. Because there are lots of things that I do like about it. But my main 2 problems with the breakup... Number one, I feel like without them properly explaining what happened, which I don't believe they did, I don't think they gave us enough, it doesn't really, it does a disservice to these characters.
Yeah.
Without properly, you know, and it makes you think, well, this isn't right. Like these two, that would never happen with these two. Like these are the two that would never happen with. Yeah. Without proper explanation, you would think that. I mean, given all the information we have and who they are, I understand now in retrospect, because I've thought about this a lot, why this happened and why this needed to happen. But that's my first reason. My second reason is it's just not the show when you don't have these two on the same page working together. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not the same show. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I think we learned that with season 10, and that's why season 10 mostly sucked. You know what I mean? Because you have them kind of at odds and they're kind of awkward with each other and they're, you know what I mean? And it's just, it doesn't, it's not right. It didn't feel right.
I heartily agree on your first point. I'm not sure if I totally agree on your second point. I mean, there was clearly, an estrangement between them in the first episode, My Struggle One. The rest of the episode, you didn't see as much of that. I mean, honestly, by like the second episode, they seem pretty friendly, at least.
Right, right. But okay, I guess what I'm talking about is actually having them in scenes together.
Okay, fair enough.
And I should have pulled up this tweet. It was so old that there's no way I'm going to scroll back and find it. But I actually was a crazy person like a year ago or earlier when season 11 was airing earlier this year. And I did the math. I actually wrote down.
Oh, that was you.
Yes. I wrote down the amount of minutes that they were actually in scenes together in season 11 and season 10. Yeah. And granted, season 11, we had more episodes, but I think at the point that I was doing it, it was actually less. Like, I think it was just after like the third or the fourth episode that I did it.
Yeah.
And it was already like twice as much screen time together. Yeah, I mean, we have the episode this to thank for that, actually.
Yeah, but we do. I think they were probably together more in this than they were for the entirety of season 10, practically.
I agree with that completely. But I did the math, and it was sad. It was like out of every 40-minute episodes, it was tragic. Yeah. It was like out of 40 minutes, maybe they were in scenes together for about 15 or 16 minutes.
Yeah, it really made season 10 seem even worse in retrospect.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, at the time, I think I was really forgiving towards season 10 for a lot of things. But man, I mean, I just did a season 10 rewatch. And episodes 5 and 6 have Mulder and Scully hardly together at all. We all know the finale.
No.
They're literally not together, really.
Oh, my God. I still get ragey thinking about that. I really do. I still get
mad. Tell me about it. I'm getting ragey right now. And and Babylon is no better, quite frankly. They're barely together in Babylon. They're matched up with these weird younger opposites. And not together. So that's 2 episodes out of 6.
I mean, they make up for it with that last scene in Babylon, but, you know.
They do, thank God, or else I really would have been mad. I mean, I'm pretty mad already, but I would have been even madder.
You know, if you look at it this way, and I know we're getting a little bit off topic, but I think when I look at, like, season 10 and season 11 as one big season, which, I hate to do that because I think they're just disparate in quality, but if I look at them together as a whole season, I can kind of see it slowly progress. But if you look at like the end scene of Babylon and then the finale, and then you compare that with like the end scene of Nothing Lasts Forever and then go into the finale, I feel like in Chris Carter's mind, he was doing the same thing. He's like, okay, we got them walking around their house and they're holding hands. That's good enough.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that's enough for now.
We've wrapped up the relationship. And so now we don't have to deal with it at all in the finale. And I feel like he did something similar with with season 11, like, which is fine because mm-hmm. the end of the Nothing Lasts Forever was fantastic. And I mean, they could have just ended it right there and I would have been happy.
Thank God for that.
Right. But like, I feel like he did the same thing. He's like, you know, let's get this MSR crap out of the way so that we don't have to talk about it or deal with it in the finale. I feel like that's totally what he's doing. And I think that's kind of what he tried to do with Babylon, but it failed because it was still too ambiguous.
You know? Yeah, it wasn't enough of the episode. It was just, you know, it felt very tacked on at the end. Right. And it was better than nothing. And I've had seen better scenes, but it was better than anything else we got for most of the season.
Exactly.
And I think that Carter has a tendency, if you make a list of all of the second to last episodes of every season, they're inevitably really strong episodes, I find. There might be like one or two exceptions.
Season 9 is an exception.
Season 9 is one exception for sure.
Yeah.
But I find that the second last episodes are often like that. They're often strong character episodes. Mm-hmm. And then we get into the mythology at the end. It's like, let's get the vegetables out of the way so we can get to the dessert, not realizing that we think of the dessert and vegetables in a totally different order.
Exactly. Which, again, is, I think, the huge disconnect here with between, as much as I love him and as much as I have to not be mean and as much as I have to, like...
We're not gonna be mean. It's the
big disconnect, I think, that he has with the majority of this fandom.
I think especially the super
side of it. Right, which I think is the majority of the fandom. I would agree. And that's kind of one of the main problems that I have with the show in general is like he doesn't know what he has. And I'm not even just talking about like, oh, let's play up their relationship. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you have these these great actors, you have access to all these great writers, and you have so much history. Play it up with the actual drama of this show and like give these characters some meat to work with. You know what I mean? Like, because that stuff's important. I mean, we care about these characters. We've been with them for a long time. Mm-hmm. And that brings me back now to the reasons that they gave for this breakup. I want you to go into that.
All right, okay, so don't even get me started. So we started season 11, and we see that they're broken up, and it's like, okay, I was already prepared for that. 10, pardon me, thank you.
Yeah, we got it.
it was pretty much kind of what I expected. I mean, it was just as well I was prepared for it. Otherwise, I would have been really ticked off, and that probably would have distracted me for the entirety of the episode.
I agree with that, yeah.
Not only are they broken up, they're really not friendly, I would say, towards one another.
I would use the word civil.
Barely, I would say. I mean, Mulder, especially at the beginning, is, I think, almost, he's very blamey and mean, I think.
Yeah.
He's very snarky, that whole, what does he say? Like, you know, Scully says something like, it's good for you to get out of that little house. And he's like, well, it was certainly good for you. I mean, that's just kind of a dig.
Yeah. Especially given what might have happened.
Yeah, exactly. And so we get this whole vibe from the beginning that it does not seem particularly amicable. And it does not seem particularly mutual because Scully is still friendly towards Mulder. It's made pretty clear, I think, to us that this was not Mulder's idea.
No.
This was Scully's idea, and Mulder's not okay with it, and he's not doing particularly well.
Right.
He doesn't look great. He seems unhappy. He seems a little angry still. I mean, it's left to our speculation how long they've been broken up for, but he still seems pretty ticked off about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the only definitive reason we're ever given, and it's very questionable to me whether this is definitive or not, but the closest thing we get is something that comes from Sveta, the alien abductee who can allegedly read minds. And while Scully's taking her blood, Sveta mentions something about endogenous depression killing their relationship. And now, of course, Scully does not confirm this one way or the other. That tends to be my go-to thing when this comes up is, yeah, but this only came from Sveta. Maybe she was wrong. But
I don't think that's the case because of the way that Scully reacts to her.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you about that. I mean, I'd like to tell myself that. I'd like to pretend that it doesn't count because we didn't actually get confirmation, but you're probably right that
it's too Scully's specific. Reaction. It's too specific for her to not have read her mind. And
yeah.
So I think that's probably the case.
Although my other sort of way out of that one that I like to cling to is that she's just reading Scully's mind, and what Scully's thinking of at that moment doesn't necessarily represent the entirety of what happened with their relationship.
Oh, so, I agree with that 100%. And I actually, I want you to go in a minute about all the mental health stuff, because I know you had some interesting insight on that. But I think that, like, the idea that Scully would be thinking something so specific, I actually really like that, because even right off the bat, she's thinking of it clinically, like, this is a sickness, this is a disease, this isn't Mulder, this is something that happened. You know what I mean? And right. I like that in her brain she's kind of separating it.
Okay.
And I think that they actually achieved that. Again, these are the leaps you have to take to get to the heart of what this show is about, but that's the way it's always been. But I think that that's what they did there, was that they have her saying it in this very clinical way to separate him from the disease in her mind.
Right. Fair.
And so I actually really appreciated that they got specific with the actual type of it, the type of depression. Again, and I want to put out before we get into this, I 100% will never, ever, ever believe that Scully left him while he was in the midst of this.
I know, right?
I don't want to say better, because you don't just get better, but I think he was not, like, depressed and she said, fuck this, I'm out. Like, that would never happen. Scully would never do that as a friend, and she would never do that as a doctor. So I would never, ever think that that is what happened. So when she says it killed the relationship, I think it did kill the relationship, but it's not what caused her to leave.
Yeah, so. I mean, I really like that interpretation, and I agree that that's the only interpretation that makes any sense. But I feel like if you're just watching the show and you're not doing a lot of headcanon work as we are wont to do, all you're really left with in terms of clues are this comment about depression, the fact that Mulder seems unhappy about the fact that Scully left, and you're just kind of left with this feeling, I think, that Scully has hurt our hero. Poor Mulder has been hurt by Scully.
Yeah.
And oh my God, then we find out it's because he was depressed.
Right.
And
it really does make her come across like a bad guy. And I think she really does.
I hate that. Yeah. I hate that. I mean, we have to fix that. I mean, no, Chris Carter's not interested in fixing it, but we have to fix that.
Oh, and that's what's so frustrating, is that to him, he's like, yeah, it's good enough. All right, that's good enough.
Yeah,
but then
that's enough of an explanation, right?
Right.
Because he's like, who cares what that says about Scully? Who cares whether that is? I mean, people talk a lot about the poor treatment that Scully gets, and I don't always agree, but on this one, I mean, this is almost, to me, the worst thing he's ever done to her character, I think.
It really is. It really is. Without the mental gymnastics that I have done to make myself feel okay about it, without that, they didn't do enough, especially for a casual viewer. And the way that Jillian chose to play Scully in season 10, I guarantee you a casual viewer would not like her character the way that we're supposed to like her. Yeah, I agree with that completely.
I think you're totally right. I mean, to the point where I just never knew what to do with that statement, because I knew it sounded wrong based on everything I knew about Scully's character. And I could never figure out what to do with it. So generally, I just tended to kind of pretend it had never happened, because I couldn't figure it out. The only time I've been able to gain any kind of peace from it was when I read your fanfic, actually.
Which is,
what's it called again? Culmination, is that it?
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Yeah. It's a little plug for Annie's fanfic. It's great. And I've said before, I'm not really a fanfic fan, but it's awesome. So
well, thank you, Jen.
It's like,
I'm thrilled that I got you to read something.
I know. I read even more chapters than I was planning to. I started with like the breakup stuff and worked outward from there. So now I've read like chapters 15 to 19. Now I'm going to just go back. I'm going backwards and forwards at the same time. It's beautiful and it's sweet and it's well thought out. It's a freaking tour de force is what it is, because it does the entire series, right?
It does. It does. Well, do you want me to explain kind of my headcanon of what I think happened?
Do it.
First of all, and this took me a long time to work out, because I wasn't okay with this breakup for a long time. And honestly, I wasn't okay with it until like season 11 started to get going. And honestly, that conversation that they have in Plus One really changed a lot of things for me, because I started to think like, well, damn, this is a lot more complicated than I think I ever even thought. You know what I mean? Right. Because there's so much time that has gone by and there's so many things that have gone by. So, and honestly, to be honest with you, I don't think Mulder was where he needed to be. I think that he had issues, and I think that Scully was aware he had issues, but she stayed with him anyway, you know? And so in a way, and they worked all that out, believe it or not, they figured it out in season 11. And so I was so grateful for that, because without that, I kind of would have been left thinking, how's this going to work? How's this really going to go down? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because I think they had issues way back from like the finale, the original season 9 finale. So what I think happened is which they never mentioned, they never brought up again after the finale. But I think the main thing was the 2012 end of the world date, I think, is what would have started Mulder's like spinning out. I think that that comes and goes. It doesn't happen. He starts to worry that he's, you know, wasted all this time. He's wasted his life. It wasn't the truth. So he's now out looking for more truth, you know. And I think that combined with probably these two don't talk about the William thing. They don't talk about much, you know, when it comes to personal stuff. I really don't think they do. And I think that that's a problem that they've always had. And I think that sort of thing could easily break up a couple, you know, especially if you don't talk about it. So I think that kind of combined with that, like seriously, something had to give. Like how did they think this was all going to kind of come to some sort of happy ending? You know what I mean? It's actually kind of tragic when you think about it. So in a way, it makes sense to me that he would have spun out. He would have maybe gone into this tailspin. That with their not communicating could have easily, I believe it is my point. I believe it. I wish that they had touched on it more, and I wish that they had talked about it more in season 10, because this is not the kind of thing that any sort of casual viewer would think of or even be aware of. You know what I mean? But it makes sense to me. It totally makes sense to me.
So in your sort of vision, Mulder was depressed, but was he depressed at the time that Scully left him?
Well, here's the thing, and I need to be sensitive about this because I'm not familiar with how depression works. Like, I don't know.
It's different for everybody.
I don't know if it's the kind of thing that you can just, like, be better. You're not going to completely be better again, I think, but I think you can be as good as you possibly can be.
You can manage it.
Right. And I think what happened with him is that, he had this depression. It was probably bad for a while. It could have been bad for a year. You know what I mean? She probably did everything she could to get him out of it. I'm sure he went on meds, because she doesn't make that comment in Weremonster where she's like, are you still taking your meds, you know? So I know some people kind of took that as a joke, but I don't think it was a joke. Like, I think he's probably working his way out of it, and she helped him work his way out of it. But like, at that point, I think it was just like, look, I'm just doing this as your friend, I'm just doing this as your doctor. I mean, that's going to kill every other possible aspect of your romantic / sexual / all of that relationship. I'm sure that wouldn't have lasted after that. And so I think even though he would have come up out of his fog and he would have been better, quote unquote, I don't think their relationship would have been better. And I think that it's the kind of thing that they both would have needed to make a concerted effort to work on it, which is what happened in season 11.
Right. Okay. So, see, I think that's a great explanation you're pulling together the strands of what we have and making them work in a way that frankly they don't on the screen. And
no,
it makes me much happier, and I can kind of live with it that way.
Angry, that's why I did it, is to make myself feel better.
Feel better. It makes everybody else feel better at the same time, because we're all bothered by the same things in the end.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
I'm not very good at headcanon. I've come to this conclusion. I'm not a very creative person in that respect, and so I'm very analytical. Like, I like to deal with what's in front of me, so I can put the pieces together as we've been given them. But when it comes to coming up with stuff outside of what we've been given, I'm terrible at that sort of thing. So now I'm starting to grasp the value of fanfic, that smarter people than I am, who are more creative and can imagine and envision this stuff, can write it down, put the pieces together for me, and make me feel better. So,
well, and you see, this is also a reason that I kind of balked at it at first, because there are two different kinds of fan fiction. There's kind that is canon, I would say canon compliant, which is, that's what I like to do, because in my mind, if it couldn't have possibly happened, then it's worthless to me.
Yeah, it's not really the X-Files in my books. If it's you know, go for it, write whatever you want, but it's not for me. So
I just like it to me, and like, yeah, it's fun to read and it's cool, but like in terms of making myself feel better about what I actually see on the show, like I think it has to be able to fit, like you said, the pieces have to fit. And so for me, that's kind of, that's what I like to write. It's technically, it's mostly what I like to read, unless it's, you know, a one-off or something fun or whatever. And like a lot of the things that people write could easily just kind of drop in anywhere and still work. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's what's kind of great about it. But yeah, when it comes to like headcanon, I also deal with what I see on screen. I don't listen to nonsense that I hear on interviews. I don't listen to behind the scenes crap because it's all contradicting. And you know what? When you have someone saying this, someone saying that, I'm going to ignore it all and just go with what I see on my screen.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that it's a terrible mistake if you pay attention to what Chris Carter says in interviews. Yeah. Because it is often contradictory. I think it's deliberately provocative sometimes. And
absolutely,
you know, you're just not going to be a happy person at the end of the day. Just watch the TV, read Annie's fanfic, read some of the other great fanfic out there, and then that's all you need. And just, you know, just don't read any links the day after the episode airs, and you're good to go. So,
I completely agree. I don't subscribe to that theory myself because I can't stay away and I'm a masochist, but I would also agree to not read anything Chris Carter ever says. Like just
at least mentally prepare yourself that you're gonna hate it. He's gonna say something that's gonna make you mad, and that's okay. It doesn't mean anything,
right? It means nothing.
If you can establish some distance, then you're okay doing it. But if you're in a bad mood, don't even, because he'll set you off. Do not read it like immediately after watching My Struggle 4, because you're already in a bad mood at that point.
Right. You know.
So yeah.
Stay away.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I really like what you did in terms of taking what was on the screen and making it work in a way that I don't think it worked on the screen. That made me feel very happy about that. I'm still mad about how they executed it on the screen just because of what it did to Scully's character. And honestly, the way that they conveyed this whole concept of endogenous depression, which I had to look up afterwards because I'm like, I've never even heard of endogenous depression. And I am by no means an expert on any of this stuff. I have anxiety disorder, so I know a little bit about mental health from my experiences and from my friends at support groups and things like that. So I've tried to educate myself a bit. And so I was like, what is that? And it turns out it's really not a term that's used typically. It's a very old-fashioned term, and it's not really recognized by most psychiatrists today. It really just means depression that's like biologically caused rather than caused by something, by an external circumstance.
Doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand.
That does not contribute to further understanding of Mulder's depression. I mean, the correct term really should have been major depressive disorder if we were going to get clinical. I feel like someone just threw endogenous depression in there thinking it sounded fancy and clinical or something, but
Well, and maybe they did, like I said, like for the reason that I said, like, you know, if it's like Scully the doctor is thinking of it. So that might be the random, maybe that's what doctors call it. I don't know. Maybe it's just some random, the term that was in her mind.
Doctors that are poorly trained in psychiatry may call it endogenous depression. Maybe it's a secret clue that Scully actually knows nothing about depression.
Exactly.
And misdiagnosed Mulder. I'm going to write a whole fanfic about that.
Oh, I love that.
We're only getting Scully's point of view on this alleged diagnosis.
You're right. And it never comes back up again, like I said, other than the line about the meds, which could be taken as a joke. No. But I don't think that she would joke about that. I just really don't see that happening. It never comes up again.
I think the depression thing is really weird because there's no sign whatsoever that Mulder is suffering from depression. I mean, he does look a little unkempt.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of Scully's reaction to him, she does seem concerned about his mental health, especially in My Struggle 1 and a bit in My Struggle 2 as well.
Yeah.
But the only things that we ever see her being concerned about are when he's getting overly excited, overly riled up. What she say at one point in My Struggle 1, you're on fire on some jag about the X-Files.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be your undoing.
Yeah.
It's not depression. Depression doesn't look like someone being overly excited about something. If it was depression, you'd be thrilled to see him passionate about something again.
Right.
depression would look like someone that has a complete lack of interest.
Okay, well, I don't think that's exact. I don't think that that's exactly what was going on. This is just my take on it. I don't think that she is worried he's getting depressed again. I think that, like, what caused the depression, if my headcanon is correct, was this very same obsessive passion that he's always had. Which,
okay,
in a way, makes sense to me because, you know, I've just recently learned that, like, when you're, like, a depressed person or when you become depressed, then you're prone to it. That's your personality. Like, you've been prone to it. And maybe Mulder's been prone to it his entire life. And it took some sort of catalyst or something to happen, which, again, I would say is, like, the combination of this 2012 thing and the William thing to just be, right, like, bam, you know, downward spiral. I think what Scully has always been maybe struggling with when it comes to her relationship with Mulder is this obsession.
Yes.
It is that it won't ever go away. And this, right, and this is goes to the heart of what I was always thinking when, even when the show initially ended, I'm like, look, you're never going to find the truth. So when is it, like she says, when are we going to stop the car and get out?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen. Like, at the even as great as that season 9 finale is now in retrospect, mm-hmm, that never happens. And so when we pull out and we know that they're just, you know, on the lam together, on the run from the law, and we know this date is looming, it is all very, you know, you don't really know what's going to happen. I know they do that on purpose, but even when it comes down to, like, the character of Mulder and his personality, like, I completely get why Scully would have enough, like, at a certain point, be like, look, like, this isn't what I signed up for. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I guess I signed up for you, so I signed up for that. But, like, at a certain point, like, we need to kind of move on and evolve.
Yeah.
And so,
Yeah.
And so that's when I think when she sees him in My Struggle One, like, mm-hmm, going back on again, and which I have to point out is, like, the same shit that, like, it's the same stuff they've talked about before. Which, I mean, Chris Carter can't have forgotten that. I can knock on wood and be like, well, maybe he did. But it's like, it's literally the same stuff that they've talked about before, like, all of it.
Yeah.
And she I think she recognizes that. She's like, look, like, this isn't something new. Like, you're not going to just suddenly discover the truth and everything's going to be great, you know?
Yeah.
And so
I
think that's what that is.
I agree with absolutely everything you're saying. I think that that's the foundation of what went awry with their relationship.
Exactly.
It's about Mulder's obsession. It's about his constant desire to be searching for something. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, it's like a dog who chases a car. What's he going to do if he catches it? It's
exactly,
like, you know, when 2012 comes around, and even you could go back to season 7, really, when the search for Samantha ended, what's he going to do with himself after that?
Well, and you'll remember that led to all kinds of uncertainty and crazy. Yeah. I mean, it really all does make sense when you put the pieces together. It does make complete and total sense.
If you start to look at it from the perspective of strictly from the point of view of his obsessive nature, mm-hmm, and the fact that he has this kind of yearning to be always searching for something, that no wonder he feels that way, because he's been searching for his sister since he was like a kid. Right. So this is something I think is just part of his personality. But to me, that's separate from, like, the mental illness of depression. And to say that, oh, well, depression explains their breakup, I mean, we've just said that there's plenty of evidence that there's problems in their relationship that are based just on who the kind of person that Mulder is. Not a depressed person, necessarily, because I really don't see much evidence of that. But a guy that cannot let go, and a guy that probably tends to put his obsessions first ahead of his relationship.
Yes.
And, I mean, no one wants to feel like they're not their partner's first priority.
Right. I think you're right. I think that's the problem. And that's why writing in the depression thing maybe was a quick fix. But for the people who are just, hey, just catching up. Mulder went all crazy. And so she said, I've had it. And we didn't need that. Like you're saying, we didn't need that. We know Mulder.
No,
like,
there's plenty of evidence that, you know, I couldn't live with the guy. I mean, the reality is that, I mean, anyone that knows anything about relationships knows that being in love is wonderful, but there's more to being in love to make a relationship work.
Right.
And you've got to have, you know, compatible lifestyles and compatible priorities in life. And, you know, you can paper over those for a while. And that's very much what's going on in I Want to Believe. We can see that conflict coming out with, you know, Mulder's Endless Pursuit of the Darkness, and which I Scully's love. Reaction
like,
to that.
I love that they put that in that movie, because to me, I was like, finally, yes. Finally, they're addressing this. This is a problem, you know?
Yes, it is. And we can see that it would be. And it's honestly been like a under the surface for the whole series. It does not come out of nowhere the way this depression does.
Not at all.
To me, when that stuff comes up, it makes perfect sense. And yeah, I mean, you can kind of see it right away. Like, tell me about it, sister. I can see exactly why you'd feel that way. And you can see there's real trouble there. And I rewatched I Want to Believe a little while ago. And honestly, if you take off that last scene, I realized that if you just kind of chopped that last scene out, and God forbid, but if you had, then of course you would assume they were broken up by the time season 10 rolled around, because they practically seem like they're on the verge of a breakup. In I Want to Believe, they almost seem broken up by the end of it, except somehow they just kind of like, let's just kiss each other and hope for the best. There's not really a great sort of earned resolution there, right, where you see that, okay, they have fixed things.
Right. I agree with that. Quiet. You see that, like, so okay, we're left with a happy ending, because it is a happy ending, and then you see them in the boat and everything, and then you're like, okay, they're taking a little vacay, they're good, but you see that there's trouble in paradise, pun intended.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you see that, and so the fact that they have that in there, I think, is actually really good in terms of this overarching storytelling. I mean, would I have felt that way if they never came back with a revival? You know, probably not. Like, I probably would have been like, oh great, they're off in the Bahamas or something, you know, they're having fun. You know, I wouldn't have probably given it too much thought. But like, with everything that has been painted for us in season 10, it kind of colors that movie differently.
Well it kind of does. It's like, it's not quite as solid an ending as it seemed at the time, obviously, but it makes sense now, looking back on it. It's like, okay, I can see now that it wasn't really a great resolution. I mean, it felt like there was an implication that Mulder was going to try harder to sort of stay away from the darkness. And it's like, okay, good. They're heading in the right direction. They'll probably get there.
You know,
it's not too hard to believe that they didn't.
Right, exactly. Which again, I appreciate. It's more real. It's not like we're going to see them like going off into the sunset, and you know, that's not that kind of show. So it's like, anytime they're going to leave it a little ambiguous, and maybe there's a little hint of darkness, that's fine. That's the tone of the show, and I like that. But did you ever watch? I'm going to go off on a little tangent here. Did you ever watch the show Friday Night Lights?
I did not.
Okay, well, it's a fantastic show. But
I know, I keep hearing that.
It makes me think of that in a way, because the main character, and I promise you I'll be quick, the main character is played by Kyle Chandler, and he's a football coach. Mm-hmm. And like, I think this show went on for 6 seasons, and Tammy is his wife. And like, every single season, it would be like, okay, I'm going to coach here, we're moving here. I'm going to coach here, we're moving here. Or he wouldn't move around, but it would always be about him. It was always about what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And in the finale, which was probably one of the best show finales ever made, she gets this amazing opportunity, and he decides, you know what, it's your turn. And it, like, literally, that's what they have. And they're a great like TV couple. They're probably one of the best TV couples, other than Mulder and Scully, of course. But they have this moment where he says, it's your turn. And I feel very much that happening with our season 11 sort of resolution. Mm-hmm. And I would not have had that feeling if we didn't get season 11, because I do feel like we got to the point where Mulder was reprioritizing.
Definitely. I think there's a sign at the end of I Want to Believe that he wants to reprioritize, but I don't think he's got the skill set to do that. You can't just decide to do that after being a certain way your whole life.
Which is why it took her leaving to get him there.
Makes sense to me.
Which is why I will always be okay, in retrospect, knowing they got back together and everything's fine, with this breakup. Like, to me, and this is, again, no thanks to Chris Carter. This is all thanks to, like, my own mental gymnastics that I've had to do to get there. But this is why I believe that this needed to happen. Mulder's always had this problem. But like you said, we didn't need depression to get there. Like, Scully literally could have just said, look, I couldn't take it anymore, and we broke up. And I would probably been like, well, that makes sense. He's crazy.
You know what I mean? He's a lot to handle.
He's a little much, you know? So,
and you would feel very lost in his world, because you're just a small part of it, I think. That's the way it would feel. I can imagine it easily.
Exactly. And so, and in a way, I would have bought that a lot better than rather her saying, that it was depression. I mean, I can see both things happening. Like I said, like I can see the depression happening, but
yeah, or at least she thinks that it's depression. I mean, we never know for sure it's anything other than what she thinks it is.
Right.
I'm still going to just kind of gloss over the depression thing because there's so many better explanations.
There are. I like your idea that like she misdiagnosed him or she thought that it was depression because maybe she couldn't bring herself to believe that she's been so blind this whole time, which I think in the end,
that's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Which in the end is, I think that's what the truth is just that she just hasn't, she's hasn't faced that.
Yeah, and then absolutely.
When she finally faced that, she realized this is not working. Like, you know, so I
mean, it was never really going to.
And breaking my own heart a little bit saying that, but it's true.
The signs were there along. I mean, I felt a lot better about season 10 when I was doing a season 1 rewatch, actually, because we can see it even in season 1, like in
it's
Lazarus. Lazarus, when she's talking, when Scully's talking about her old boyfriend, and old in more ways than one, and
she's describing,
he was like her instructor.
Mulder. Yeah.
Yeah, she's describing Mulder. Actually, I wrote it down. It says, she said something like, it was impossible for him to relax. He was always so intense, so relentlessly determined. And it's
my God.
Hello?
Yep.
Who is that?
I think
Mulder.
I actually remember doing a tweet that was like, oh, girlfriend, you are in trouble. And I remember having the same moment when I rewatched that episode. And I was just like, it all makes sense now. Why couldn't that have just been enough? Yeah.
Could any of us have thought it was ever going to work out after that?
Yeah. Yeah.
But for some reason we did. And even also in like, we get a hint of it in Jersey Devil in season 1, where what is it? She says to her girlfriend there, who we never really see again, that but at first her friend says, oh, I thought you said he was cute. And she said, he is. He's a jerk. Well, no, he's not really a jerk. He's obsessed with his work.
Yeah.
And again, it's like warning flag.
Yeah.
So she could see from the beginning that he was wrong for her. For good reason, because she knows that's been a problem in her relationships before. She's obviously attracted to that kind of guy by the sounds of things. Keeps kind of getting involved in this kind of a situation. And so, honestly, the writing was on the wall. It does not in any way come out of nowhere. It was actually there from the very beginning.
And this is exactly why I think that it's fine that they broke up. Like, and I think it makes sense, and I think they should have, and I think it was actually probably good for the relationship in the long run.
I totally agree, because I think that Mulder he's such an obsessive personality, and I think he's just comfortable being obsessed and comfortable being on a search, because that's what he's been on his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't know how to live without an obsession. I suspect he doesn't know how to function that way. I'm a little bit like that with my anxiety. That's why the X-Files is so great, because it gives me something to obsess about.
Yeah.
So I kind of get that feeling of like, the uneasiness when you're not searching. And so I think that it was going to be difficult to ever get him out of that mode, because he's comfortable with it and probably saw nothing wrong with it. He probably thought that there's nothing being that way.
Well, that's what happens when you're a little bit self-absorbed narcissist, which I think
Well, a little bit. And I mean, the reality is it has done some good. You know,
he's not a narcissist. I take that back. Way. But
he's a little tiny bit narcissistic sometimes. We'll just say he's troubled.
And you know what? It makes it all the more galling, and I want to believe, when he gets upset with her because he's like, well, I'm not the one who changed. It's such a childish thing to say, considering how much she's had to change for him. You know what I mean? Over the years. It's upsetting. Like, even thinking about it makes me upsetting. It makes me upset. Because it's like, and she's kind of like trying to communicate that to him. And still she comes out of that somehow looking like the bad guy. Because we all love Mulder. You know what I mean? Like, and so you're walking
like
away.
Somehow Scully's fault.
Yes. And I remember thinking when I was watching that scene, like, oh my God, like, she is so right. Like, Mulder, it's time to stop. Like, And then still feeling so bad for him too, because he can't help himself. You know what I mean? It's like he needed this push, the breakup, to get to that point. You know what I mean? Yes. So
he needed like a major crisis in his life to see that he was on the wrong track. Because frankly, up until then, the track he was on has paid off pretty well for him. I mean, it's his inclination by nature anyway, I think, largely based on the abduction of his sister. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, it did a lot of good. He solved some X-Files. He did some good stuff. You know, he didn't necessarily find the truth, but it led him in what often turned out to be the right direction.
Well, they found lots of truths, even though a lot of the time Scully would deny it. I mean, she saw a lot of shit because of him. You know what I mean?
There was a lot of shit going down. And so, you know, he was rewarded for his behavior a lot. And so something had to come along to say, actually, dude, what you're doing is not going to work for you anymore. And it had to be something really... a major crisis, and Scully leaving him was probably the only thing that would work.
Right. I mean, when you think about it, like you're saying, like over all these years, like he was rewarded. Like when you think about Scully, you're like, okay, well, what was her reward? Like her reward was him. And so if he wasn't going to be the person that she needed, what did she get? What did she get out of this? You know what I mean? And so, I mean, so part of me is just like, I can't blame her for doing what she did.
No. Absolutely. So, I remember after I rewatched My Struggle 1 last week, I actually wrote down afterwards, I would have left Mulder too if this is what he was acting like, because he's being bitchy with her. He's not listening to her. I mean, there's that conversation where Scully sees Sveta at Mulder's place for the first time, and she's like, this is no, Mulder, you're on the wrong track. You're getting yourself worked up. This isn't good for you. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to communicate that to him, and he is just not listening. It's like, you listen to me. No, you listen to me. And there's no communication there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, yes, I can see readily if you're with someone who just won't listen to you, is very obsessive, and is kind of bitchy to you, then I think I'd be wanting to walk out the door too.
You know,
and I say good for her.
Yeah, I thought of something too that I think I might have actually mentioned in my fic at some point, but that has always bothered me, and I think is something she probably might have held on to for years, was in the season finale or series finale of season 9 when he's in the jail cell, and she's like, look, why don't you just take a deal? God, I get upset even thinking about it. She's like, why don't you take a deal? Mm-hmm. We can get out of here. And he's like, well, this is bigger than you and me. It doesn't matter. And she's like, this is us. This is you and me. Yeah. Like, you need to do this. And he just completely isn't listening. He's just like, So you could tell he feels bad about it, you know? Oh, good for him. Yeah. But like, seriously, that scene breaks my heart. And the fact that after that, like, she still stays with him, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody even remembers that. Like, nobody even is like, that was fucked up. Like,
that was fucked up. I mean, that was so fucked up. And it really, it distills a lot of what was wrong in their dynamic was that, you know, even when it came down to their life, he's willing to throw that away without her agreement.
Right.
She's trying to say otherwise.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, he just doesn't give a shit what she thinks.
Right.
And
that's so frustrating.
That's frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for that to have been in the last episode too, you know, to know that that's what we're left with, like that's still the Mulder that we're left with. Like,
yeah.
You know, and again, it was just, and I don't want to say like he takes her for granted, but he does. You know?
Well, he kind of does. And I mean, she's put herself in a position to allow him to take her for granted to
a
certain extent.
That's definitely true.
She lets him get away with his crap. And she calls him on it, but it never seems to make any difference to him.
And it didn't.
And that's what, then honestly, you know, when I look at the breakup now, I really feel like that was a positive for Scully as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it really snapped Mulder out of this sort of negative pattern he was in. But I think that it was like, you go, girl. I mean, that was coming for many years.
Yeah.
And it's about, that was her putting herself first, which she never really did before.
Yep.
And so
and
I think
that always put him first. Always.
Absolutely. Always. I mean, much to her detriment at many times, but, you know, always done, you know, with no hesitation and with no regret. So it was, you know, it was time for her to kind of say, okay, there are limits, there are boundaries. I value myself because we never really saw her do that much at all, really. And so the idea of her saying, I value myself and I've done all I can in this relationship and I've tried to make compromises and I'm not getting any on the other end. That's fair enough. I mean, she should have come out as the bloody hero in season 10 instead of the villain.
I agree with that. And I think that was a execution error because I think not enough people realized that at the time. And I'm gonna blame the writing. Like, I really am, because I feel like they could have. Yeah. And again, like, there's a lot of the things, like with these Chris Carter episodes, especially with these struggle episodes, is that like a lot of things could be solved with like 30 extra seconds of dialogue.
Yes,
like,
it
so easily. And they just chose. Right. And that's what's frustrating. And like, that's the number one frustration for me when I watch the show and I go, like, it's like you guys, it's like you don't realize what you have. Like, you have this really, really important relationship that has meant a lot to people for a long time. Let's spend a fucking minute talking about what happened. You know what I mean? Like, right. And they don't. It's really frustrating. You know, they're going to spend another minute on a car. They're going to spend 5 minutes on a car chase that sucks. And then an extra 3 minutes on a Mustang commercial. Like, it's just like. You know what I mean? It's just I know, you know what I mean. It's just so frustrating. Yeah. And I mean, it's like the pieces are all there. They could lay it out for us. I know this is the X-Files. They don't like to do that. But you have to realize that, like, a lot of people aren't going to be so patient. They aren't going to be as crazy patient as we are. So.
Yeah. And I mean, we are really filling in the blanks with a lot of stuff that we had to pluck from bits and pieces and put together ourselves. Yeah. It would not have been, you know, overly laying it out to give us a little more to go on. I mean, for one thing, leave the depression out, because that's a red herring. That's confusing the issue and really paints Mulder as a victim, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Take that out. Leave everything else in. Highlight a few of the faults on Mulder's side, and you're there. Like you say, 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. There's so many times. My Struggle 4 is the worst example for me of where 30 seconds could have made all the difference.
30 seconds right there at the end could have made the difference.
The difference. We'll get to that another day. But and it's not like Chris Carter's not capable of it, because he wrote Plus One.
He did, and he wrote Milagro, and he wrote so many other great episodes. Like, I know he could do it. Like, it's just
he's capable of writing the stuff. It just seems like when he gets into these mythology episodes, it's like he just does not want to get into the relationship stuff. And it's, you know, you don't have to get, it doesn't have to take up a lot of screen time.
No.
And by bringing it up, you're not going to turn it into some kind of a romantic drama. That's not going to happen.
No.
You look at an episode like Ghoulie that does a beautiful job of blending kind of plot points, mythology points, with relationship and character points.
Like,
they blend together beautifully.
Wong did more with their relationship in that episode than Carter did with any of the, with the exception of Plus One, with any of the other episodes that he did.
Yeah.
And again, maybe that's just not important to him, which, you know, whatever, to each their own. But I mean, James Wong didn't even push it in your face. It was so subtle. And I think a lot of that was their great acting. They did a really good job acting. But it was just like subtle stuff, just like that. They're finally dealing with this together. They haven't in a decade. Totally. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he does that so well. And Karen Nielsen does an awesome job in Nothing Lasts Forever.
Yeah.
Those two episodes do so much to further their relationship and to explain their reconciliation.
Yeah.
Without those episodes, if we were just relying on Chris Carter to explain it to us, we'd still have no clue why they wound up back together again.
I agree.
But those episodes go so far in terms of explaining, and it doesn't, like you say, it's not in your face. We still have X-Files in those episodes.
Mm-hmm.
We don't spend a lot of screen time on the relationship, but just enough. And also, like you say, that David and Julian bring so much to every little thing. I feel like they are just dying to try to express what's going on with this relationship, because they care about it. They want to convey it to the audience. They want everyone to understand. They want it to make sense.
Yeah.
Give them a little bit and they will take it where it needs to go.
That's why an episode that's why an episode like this was so successful, because it's like Chris Carter takes the week off and everyone's kind of just left to play around, and that's when you get all the magic. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And it's just like it's magic. Every little piece, every that, you know, it might have been a nothing with a couple of other actors playing that, but you know, with David and Julian and with the characters of Mulder and Scully, it is a magical episode. It's awesome in every way.
Yeah.
And getting back to Ghoulie for a second, we haven't really talked a lot about the impact, of course, of William on the dissolution of Mulder and Scully's relationship, because of course that would have had an intense effect.
I absolutely believe that. I absolutely love. I've written about that many times, actually, over a lot of my different stories, because I truly do think that they didn't talk about it, and it was just a tiny little thing that got worse and worse and worse and worse. Because I mean, look at, we're looking at her in 2008. And they barely bring it up when the little bed scene in I Want to Believe. Yeah. They're not talking about it, and he doesn't say anything. He's just like, it's like some canned response, because he's being the dutiful boyfriend, and he's doing what he can do to make her feel better, but it's not going to make her feel better, you know? And so, I absolutely think that that's the kind of thing that if you can't communicate properly, that's going to just kill everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we finally start to see a bit of emotional resolution to the Williams story, if not actual resolution, in season 11.
Yes.
With episodes like Founder's Mutation, where we see the amount of grief that Scully and Mulder still have over
William.
Well, that was William.
Season 10, but yes.
Season 10, pardon me, yep.
But I think I think you're right, but I think that was also a step, that or a very, very important puzzle piece that showed me that they weren't dealing with it together, because their fantasies were of themselves. They weren't in those. And that always bothered me. And I was like, oh, maybe that's just because they're broken up and they're not in that headspace. But I don't think that's the case. I think that they never dealt with it together. Yep. They never did.
As a unit.
Correct. Yeah. And that's why what we finally started to see, like in Ghoulie, was so important, you know?
Yeah. That's when they start to deal with William as a couple, really, for the first time. Yes. Up until then, they've each dealt with him, but separately.
Yeah.
And I totally agree that I don't believe for a second they talked about him. I mean, when you think about how little they talked about the fact that Scully gave him up for adoption in The Truth at the end of season 9.
Right.
I mean, it's like, let's talk about that for like 30 seconds and now let's move on.
Exactly.
I mean, and that's probably the time that you would think it would be sort of freshest in their mind. And it's easy to believe that they honestly didn't want to go back there. And you can kind of see in an episode like Founder's Mutation that Mulder in particular is kind of like, well, I felt like I had to kind of leave that behind me, when clearly it's not true.
No,
it's
not
true. We can see that, from his sort of like, you know, dream sequence kind of thing, that it's not true in his case. But you can see that that's his idea of being strong for her, when in reality, that's like the worst thing he probably could have done.
Right.
Is to pretend that everything's fine when it's not. And she probably felt like she had to pretend everything was fine because he seems fine with it.
Right.
And I mean, you have these sort of parallel paths of grief that we're never crossing over, that's got to be like super destructive for a relationship.
Totally.
And then finally in Ghoulie, they cross over for like probably the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And Mulder gets a chance to really be there for her. You know, that moment when she gets out of the car, when they're arriving at Jackson's house for the first time, and she says, I feel like I'm going to fall off a cliff.
Yeah.
And Mulder like literally like almost holds her up.
Yeah.
And
even
he is
those
so
little
there
things.
For her.
Yeah, yep, yep.
Yeah.
It's funny because I didn't even think about the whole Founder's Mutation thing until like much later, but it's completely obvious to me in that episode that they had not dealt with this at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that it was really unhealthy for both of them, and that their thoughts about William were very frightening and negative and sad and like heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And you could see, like, you know, when you watch those dream sequences, they start off as this kind of like a little bit heartwarming, like as they imagine the life they could have had. Sad, but kind of heartwarming at the same time. But they all end kind of like tragically.
Yeah.
With this kind of underlying fear that each of them have about who William is and what he really is. And so they're going through something really difficult. They're going through grief about having lost him, but also fear and anxiety for what he is now and what he has become.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the responsibility they have for that, which is discussed in Home Again, where Scully feels like, you know, we were responsible for him and we threw him away like garbage, which I think is a real mischaracterization. But you know, that's how
she doesn't
that
say
moment.
That they did. She says that she just wants to be, she wants to believe they didn't. Like, she wants to be sure that they didn't. And I do think that was literally the first conversation that they ever had about him.
Yeah.
Like, I really believe that.
Like
a real conversation, not like, oh, you think it's because I'm thinking William. Well, William is blah, 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 blah. Let's go to bed. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't count.
Yeah.
So, I think that was the first real conversation that they ever had.
And I give Mulder really like high marks for how he was in that conversation, because he wasn't trying to paper over it. He wasn't trying to just come up with some kind of let's just, you know, it's fine, don't worry about it, let's just forget about it kind of thing.
He was just listening.
He was just there for her. He was there for her, and he was listening.
Yep.
And it's hard for guys to do that sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, just to sit there and not to try to make it better, but just to let her speak.
Right.
And, you know, I give him, like, you know, full boyfriend marks for how he was in that episode. He was, you know, he was trying. He was trying to do better.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, like, a real step forward. And then, of course, in season 11, we can see lots of examples where he's trying to do better. He knows what he has to do. It seems like he has grasped by that time what he has to do. It's just a question of proving to her he can do it.
Totally.
Because she's very wary of getting back together with him, and you can understand why. I mean, she's been with this guy for many years, and she doesn't want to fall for the same thing again and to wind up in exactly the same place and to wind up in the second round of heartbreak.
She wants to be sure that it's not going to be what it was before, which is a huge leap. And I mean, it is a huge leap, and which makes her dialogue to him in Nothing Lasts Forever that much more meaningful, because that's exactly what she says to him, is like, this is a leap. Like, I'm hoping that this is going to be better this time.
Yeah, I mean, we all tried to sort of analyze what might she have whispered to Mulder in that, and what leap is she talking about? I remember, because, you know, I like to analyze, I wrote down a whole list of, like, possibilities and what evidence we had for each possibility of what she might have said. So I was just going to say that, you know, the whole point she makes about leaping is really important in that episode, because that is a leap for her to want to get back together with him, because for her, she's a scientist. Everything is evidence-based for her. She needs proof.
Yep.
And it took her a while. She needed a lot of proof before she was willing to make that leap. She's not a real leapy person, except when it comes to her religious faith. And so
even then, maybe not so much.
Yeah, not as much as maybe once upon a time. But she's got a bit of faith there that, you know, is a bit out of step with the rest of her character, which I'm fine with. I think that works really well. But yeah, so it makes total sense to me that he needed to prove it to her over and over again.
Yeah.
For her to really believe that he had changed, because, I mean, I wouldn't believe it for a while myself, quite frankly. So, you know, you have to know that he's not just putting it on to try to get her back, right? You have to believe that this is the real him now.
Exactly. I think that's what we got with season 11 Mulder. So,
yeah.
And I can see why by the end that she finally decided he was worth taking that leap.
I would have taken the leap for him.
Yeah. It was a really interesting way to tell their story in this revival, but I think, and maybe while I was watching it, I wasn't like a huge fan of the whole idea that we had to go through all this again, because I was really looking forward to seeing them like kind of solve X-Files as a couple and doing that sort of thing, which we never really got, which sucked.
We didn't.
No.
That pains me.
We didn't, and so that sucked. But like, other than that, I mean, I do think that in terms of them coming out of this as staying in character and being people that we would like to see them move ahead with, like, my mind, I think they can make it now. You know what I mean? I don't have
They really can.
I don't have those same fears anymore, you know? So
they've earned that kind of reconciliation that was not really fully earned at the end of I Want to Believe.
Agreed.
And they've gone through it all.
Yes.
It's much more believable now. And to me, it's like they're rock solid now, you know, before they, you know, really, honestly, they were always a little sort of like not totally solid. There was always that chance that you never quite knew how things were going to work out for them, because there was always some challenges between them.
Always.
But now we see that they've worked out those challenges. They've talked about the issues they needed to talk about. They finally have been like open with one another, and you can actually see it working for real, and it's more believable and more convincing. And my only real regret about it is that we didn't get to see any episodes where they're officially together doing anything together.
Even in I Want to Believe, they didn't. Like, he was off doing his own thing. It was almost like Chris Carter was just doing that intentionally to torture us. But
I Want to Believe is a bit like like the revival in miniature in the sense that they're fighting the whole time. They're semi broken up in the sense that they're not getting along at all, except at the very beginning.
Right. We did that. We did get that. We did get that great scene of them in the bathroom and where
For that. Yeah. Thank God for the scene in the bed in the bathroom. Yeah. And the scene at the end out on the lawn. I mean, those were great. Imagine if we had gotten a couple of, it just kills me that if we could have just had one episode, maybe in My Struggle 4, they could have had more than like 10 seconds of screen time together. I don't know. But again, we can talk about this another day.
We will.
But that's the only thing I would like to have seen done differently. Looking at it now, I can see that the breakup was actually important and necessary character development.
I agree. And I'm very curious if anyone listening out there, after having listened to this, might have changed your mind on that. I would be really interested. If you did, hit us up on Twitter at XFDpodcast on Twitter, and we will definitely talk to you there. And but I'm very curious to hear what you guys think about, everything said and done, what you guys think about the breakup in terms of the long-term story arc of these characters. Was it necessary? Was it unnecessary? Does anything we say resonate with anybody? Let us know. And thanks, you guys, for listening. And we will be back with you on another episode of X-Files Diaries. Thank you.
Thanks.